something so much that it just feels like it's going to eat you alive.
I love you like chisel and stone.
Bob Boylan and Robin Hilton are the hosts of All Songs Considered. They were talking about the new album from Asaf Avidan, Gold Shadow, and you can hear the whole thing on our website this week before it goes on sale. It's an NPR Music First Listen.
And I love you like my hand on a gun.
This is NPR News.
Tickets are now on sale for the March 10th All-Day Ag Outlook meeting at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. Sue Martin will deliver a keynote. Murray Wise will give us his projections for land values in 2015. And we'll have panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain. And we may have a surprise or two along the way. Call for your tickets at 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The Federal Reserve today is widely expected to repeat the pledge it made in December, that it will be patient in raising interest rates from record lows. The statement that Chair Janet Yellen and her colleagues will issue after the meeting will be scrutinized for any possible clues to a shift in Fed policy. Most economists foresee no rate hike until June at the earliest, and given recent developments, some economists are starting to push back their predicted timetable for the first rate hike to September or December. Sao Paulo state officials today say that a key waterway in Brazil used to transport grains will not reopen as planned for the start of soy exporting season. The waterway has been closed since last May, and rains in January have not raised the draft enough for barges to pass. The government has no estimated date for reopening the waterway. The state government had hoped to solve the problem by reducing the amount of water used by 3 hydroelectric dams, but the local government is still waiting for approval from 3 federal agencies. The waterway transports 2.5 million tons of soybeans and corn that mostly come from Mato Grosso and Goiás in central Brazil. The Russian government has proposed cutting planned spending by 10% this year and 5% in all categories except military and social expenditures. The anti-crisis plan lists measures that authorities will take to support the economy battered by lower energy prices, a collapse in the value of the ruble, as well as Western sanctions. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 17,341. It's down 37 points. The NASDAQ 4207, up 29. And the S&P 500 is 2,033. It's up almost 4 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
A significant storm system that's expected to develop in the southern plains Friday into Saturday will spread its rain and snow across a big part of the Midwest as we go forward into the weekend. Saturday and Sunday should be a very wet period for a big part of the Midwest. And during that period of time, we'll see snow widespread from portions of Iowa and parts of northern Missouri, maybe southern Minnesota, up into portions of Michigan and northern Ohio. And these areas will see several inches of snow, probably in the range of 2 to 6 inches. We'll watch real closely. There's still a lot of potential for the system to change a little bit as we move forward through these next few days. But it looks like Saturday afternoon into Sunday will be the stormiest period of time. Snow and a little bit of a wintry mix of precipitation types will likely occur in the lower parts of the Midwest during that period of time. Southern Illinois, southern Indiana, southern Ohio, and Kentucky will see rain, freezing rain, sleet, and snow all mixed, and will likely see the precipitation there all changing over to snow before it ends on Monday morning. The storm system could produce some near blizzard conditions in a few locations in the northern parts of the Midwest, but the storm will likely be by far much more intense in the northeastern United States in the very same areas that picked up on 12 to 36 inches of snow in the past 2 days. The new storm system in the northeastern states will shut down air travel once again, and surface travel is not going to be much better. So be aware of that if you're traveling into the northeastern United States for Sunday and Monday. Those 2 days will generate another blizzard across the region with some heavy rain possible along the coast and flooding resulting from the melting snow and the new heavy rainfall that's expected. In the meantime, the Midwest will dry out and calm down a little bit, but it'll get colder across the region as we go from Sunday into Monday. Temperatures are likely to fall below average across the region. We might actually see some positive negative single digit low temperatures across a portion of the region as we get into Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. I think Sunday will still be relatively warm except in the far northwestern part of the region, but on Monday and Tuesday mornings we'll likely see those positive negative single digit readings occurring across a portion of the Midwest. But there will be snow on the ground in all of the soft wheat producing areas, protecting that crop from any kind of potential damage. As we get a little bit later into the week next week, warmer air will begin to work its way back across the region, but there may be a reinforcing shot of cooler air coming along as time moves forward. And that will likely maintain a cooler biased outlook for at least the eastern and northern parts of the Midwest. The southwestern areas may not be quite so cold. And then as we look forward for the next storm system in the region, we're not going to see much of that for a little while. There will be a small disturbance that will pass through the region maybe on Monday into Tuesday across a small portion of the Midwest. Down in South America, most conditions are still favorable, but we have some pockets of dryness that are prevailing across portions of both Brazil and Argentina. But I don't see any area getting excessively dry for any great length of time coming up over the next week to 10 days, with the exception of the northeast corner of Brazil, where there's already a rather serious problem. Most of that area that's too dry, though, is mostly coffee and sugar cane and some rice-producing areas and not corn and soybean country. With that said, I think it's well known now that a little bit of production cut is likely to occur in Brazil because of the dryness earlier this season. But in general, it's still going to be a very large crop, and we're not expecting adversity to occur much longer across the region. And in Argentina, we'll likely see some hot temperatures still lasting for another couple of days before we start to see a little cool-off and some better rainfall, but there's still going to be a net drying bias over the next 10 days. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter March wheat 5.40¾ down 9.5. Soft March is 5.09¾ down 9.25. March corn 3.77½ down 3.75. July 3.99¼ down 3.75. December 4.08¼ down 3. March soybeans 9.68 down 5.75. July 9.80½ down 6.5. November 9.57 down 5.75. March soybean meal 3.33.70 down 2.90. March soybean oil 30.59 down 58. February live cattle 153.15 up 32.5. January feeders are 212.25. They're up 147.5. And February lean hogs are 69 even, and they are down 42.5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Well, ethanol and crude prices continue to battle each other to see how low you can go. But along the way, missed in all this by some, but certainly not farmers, is the decline in diesel prices. And the question becomes, is there a way to capture some of that value moving forward so that when you're in planting season or harvest season coming up, you might have some of that value already built into your operation?
Well, that's a very good point, Dave, and there certainly is ways to combat that. One of the things, or we actually try to take several facets of an approach to that. It depends on the size of your consumption as well as the timing and storability on farm. But at this particular point in time, we've tried to make the put together the conviction that we've put a low in the energy markets for our diesel needs and for gasoline for the most part. It's not necessarily picking a bottom, but we're looking at a value level that says, you know, at these prices, what's my risk-reward? And we would say, you know, for the foreseeable future, when we can pick up, you know, diesel at $2 and below, especially for on-farm use well below that, it's probably time to fill the tanks. Your downside price risk versus upside price potential favors the producer at this point in time. If you're a consumer of more than 10,000 gallons per season, you can probably look at using the futures market to hedge some of that need as well. If you're smaller than that, you know, maybe some options might be your choice. But all things considered, you know, this is a value level that we would respect. In addition to that, I would say looking at the longer term, you know, next year in particular, there may be some things we can do as well. It just depends on the size of your consumption and what your capabilities are.
Okay, a comment about the grain markets today where the air slowly continues to come out of the balloon.
It sure is. I think the markets over the last couple of weeks have had the chance to bounce, and the wind news just has not helped them. Wheat in particular has really kind of taken it on the chin and broke some lows, probably has another 10 or 20 cents downside. Corn's probably getting victimized by the same pressure. Soybeans, you know, at South America looks really darn good. Their harvest is increasing slowly but surely, and that's probably going to add pressure to the market for an extended period of time.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. March corn, 377.5, down 3.75. July, 393.25, down 3.75. December, 408.25, down 3. March beans, 967.5, down 6.25. July, 980.25, down 6.75. November, 957, down 5.75. March soybean meal, 334, down 260. March soybean oil, 30.55, down 63 cents. February lean hogs, 68.92, down 50. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 9:01 Central Time.